Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, welcome to week two of Identity Thieves. I know so many folks are at home because of this lovely warm weather we're having. You are the brave souls. Just for you, God, our God is a consuming fire. For those of you watching online, trust your furnace. No, we're glad you're watching. So glad to have you here today. Very important today. The Steelers, of course, playing Jacksonville. It's a miserably cold day, but they are a Florida team, so that might be helpful at some level. But let's just assume for the sake of our conversation that there's a win today. Where you really want to be praying is next week when we have to play the Patriots and the referees. Do I sound bitter? A little bit. God will help us. But anyway, it'll be prayerfully we get to have a couple more weeks after this one and get to have a Super Bowl Sunday where we can all come and Steelers stuff and just have a blast. And that would be a lot of fun. But also want to remind you that we are finishing the first week of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you haven't yet joined us, you can join us. But for you, it will be 14 days of prayer and fasting. And it's okay. If you want information, go to the website or informational website, myvfc.info. And you click on the 21 days of prayer and fasting. There's a 5-minute video there explaining the concept of fasting, the concept of having a morning or a daily devotional. Then also there's a 21-day devotional that I wrote that is available for you every day of the fast. At the bottom is a PDF. You can print it if you want. So really, really want to encourage you to join that if you can. Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6:45. We finished the first week. I'm here at the church leading a prayer meeting from 6 a.m. to 6:45, Monday through Friday for the next 2 weeks. Many, many people have made that fit into their work schedule. We just had a great time in the presence of God. So if you can make that, that would be fantastic. I know for most that's impractical, but making that available to you as well. So as we enter into the second week of Identity Thieves, we want to talk about, again, the incredible importance of knowing your identity in Christ and not having it stolen. We all are aware of people or stories of identity theft. And it's very disrupting. It's very demoralizing. People steal your money. They steal your credit. They ruin your name. And sometimes it takes people years to get through that. And that's just something external like your money. But your identity in Christ, who God says you are, if that gets stolen, that's the game. Most people, even Christians, do not live out of the identity that Jesus died to provide for you. And we're going to talk about that this week. The next 2 weeks, we're going to delve into even more deeply, because when this is over, I want you to not only know your identity in Christ, but I want you to know how to walk in it and how to send the thief, tell the thief to take a hike, how to actually win that battle. And I would suggest to you that most people live and die and never win that battle. Did you know that there was an attempt to steal his identity? And we're going to look at that today, and we're going to see the response that he took. So here's what you need to get. Here's the reality. If Satan challenged Jesus' identity, you can be sure he'll challenge yours. If Satan challenged Jesus' identity, and you'll see that he clearly did it, I'll take you to it this morning, you can be certain, you can be 100% certain that he's going to challenge yours as well. So there are three simple questions I want to answer today and approach as we move into these final 2 weeks. And it's simply this. Number one, we're again going to define who is the thief. Number two, what is the principal lie that he tells? Number three, what is the way of escape? Say out loud, the way. Jesus, the scripture doesn't give you a way, it gives you the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, not a way, a truth, and a life. And God gives you the way of escape. And there is a way of escape. And we're going to talk about that. And so number one, let's just talk about who is the thief. Jesus gave us that defining teaching in John 10:10. When he was referring to Satan, in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes only. Say it out loud, only.
Only.
He comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life, have it to the full, or in abundance. So here's simple Jesus theology, which I would suggest adopting if you're a Christian or a Christ follower. If it steals, if it kills, and if it destroys, Jesus said, it comes from the thief. And he has only one purpose in interacting in my life and your life, to steal, to kill, to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life to the full or life in abundance. So if it steals and kills and destroys, Jesus said, it comes from the enemy, literally the kingdom of darkness, Satan. He said, but on the other side of it, life and life abundance, that comes from me. Remember, Jesus said, I did not come into the world in John 3:17 to condemn the world, but that through me, the world might have life. Jesus defines the principal action of the enemy, and it's that he's a liar. I'm about to read you a scripture we read last week. The last weekend of this message, 2 weeks from now, we're going to delve into this story a little bit more and find so much revelation within it. And it literally will tell you how to get out of an identity that you feel trapped in. Sometimes they're generational. Sometimes you don't even know you're in it, and you find yourself in it, and you're like, well, how did I get here? How do I get out? When you see these simple truths and you begin to act upon them, they absolutely will revolutionize your entire life, because who you are in Christ, it's a game changer. And if you don't know how to find that identity and how to battle and combat the thief who wants to steal that identity, then you're going to live half the life you were called to live. But Jesus was speaking at this point, I'm about to read to you, he's speaking to religious leaders, people who were perceived by the mass to know God. They had that morning brought a woman to Jesus when she was taken in the very act of adultery. And basically, they tried to get Jesus to consent to her murder. They said, the law of God says she should be stoned. What do you say? You know the story. Jesus eventually said, woman, he said, has no man condemned you? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. But then they came back and they were furious at him not condemning the woman. And so Jesus responds to these people who perceived by others to be the people that represent God and know God the best. And listen to what he says in John 8:44 to the religious leaders out loud. You belong to your father, the devil. How many of you know that didn't get him a lot of amen brothers right there, right? You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. Remember, steal, kill, destroy. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. Now listen, for there is no truth in him. Say that out loud. No truth in him. You need to get this. This is so critical if you're going to know how to walk in your identity in Christ. The interaction that you have with the enemy's camp, the work of the enemy in my life and your life, any interaction is to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you get the principle that there is no truth in him, it's critical. He goes on to say this, when he lies, he speaks of his own or alone. Again, we're going to give you the depths of that in the coming weeks. For he is a liar and the father of lies. He's the one who is initiating the lies that spread out around you. And we'll see that a little bit further as we talk today. But I want to talk to you about the very first lie that the enemy tells, and it is about God. He lies about who God is and what God will do. He lies about him because man is made in the likeness and the image of God. Every human being on planet Earth has been made in God's likeness and image. Now, not every human being is a child of God and knows God. That occurs by receiving the sacrifice of his son and making Jesus the Lord of your life. But everybody has been made in the likeness and the image of God. So the first lies that he'll ever tell, the first lie that he ever told, was to distort the image of God in you. If you're made in God's likeness and image, and his image is distorted, then you never know the reflection you're supposed to look like. And he lies about God. And we'll see he did it in the very beginning with Adam. Now, the Bible calls Satan the accuser. He's called a deceiver, a liar, a thief, a murderer, That's his MO. That's what he does. In fact, the Bible also says that we should not be ignorant of his devices. He doesn't come with a pitchfork and you know, with red horns and a tail. He has schemes. And the Bible tells you, do not be ignorant of his schemes. And his schemes is that he uses lies. Not blatant, bold lies. He doesn't come to me and say, you know, John, you are an astronaut. Because I'm not, that's not true. I know that's not true. I'm never getting in. Number one, my weight limit, they wouldn't let me in. You have to be real skinny because, you know, you save fuel. I don't know. No, I'm too old. I'm 57. Yeah, older people have gone. I want to stay here until I leave the earth another way. He doesn't come with crazy stuff. He is a deceiver. He doesn't bring you a chunk of poison. He brings you a piece of great meat, or if you're a vegetarian, tofu, and he puts the poison in it. He's a deceiver and he's a liar. But the first lie he tells is about God. He's called the accuser. So what has he done? Accused God of things he doesn't do, and people, even God's Christ followers, think God is doing things to them that steal, kill, and destroy. Let me give you an example. For 35 years plus of ministry, I cannot remember the amount of times this has happened to me. I'll be talking to somebody and they'll share a horrible situation they've gone through, currently going through. Maybe they were abused as a child or sexually abused, something horrible. And then they end it by saying this, but you know what the Bible says, God won't give you more than you can bear. The Bible doesn't say that. That's how the enemy distorts God. He takes his scripture, and you'll see he did it to Jesus, and he perverts it. It's that belief is so pervasive, and it isn't by good people or bad people. There is an enemy that wants to deceive, so he wants to distort who God is to you. If you think God is the one killing, stealing, and destroying, you can't go to him for help. That mindset of, well, you know, God won't give you any more than you can bear, like you're a pack mule. And in heaven, God's saying, okay, look, they're burdened pretty badly, but I think they can take more. What are you? Well, how about you? I'll bet you $5 they can. No, no way. Let's pile them up. More than, no, we didn't give them more than they can bear. Wow, look at that. Isn't that, hey, find another one. Let's go find someone else to lay burdens on. Do you know what Jesus said when you come to me? He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. God won't give you more than you can bear. There's a reason why your husband cheated on you and left you and harmed you. And, you know, God knew that it would make you closer to him. God doesn't lead men to commit adultery. Now, God will help me no matter what happens in my life. But he's not the source of your problem. Let me read the scripture to you. Boy, this is so misquoted. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation. Who's the tempter? Say it out loud. That's pretty 101 Christianity and theology. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it or overcome it. God is your way of escape. He's not your tempter. That's why in the book of James, James wrote, penned by the Holy Spirit, let no man say in James 1:13, when he is tempted, tested, or tried, that he is tempted, tested, or tried by God. For God tempts, tests, or tries no man with evil. Now, I will tell you this. Does God test us? Absolutely. But not with evil. Every step of obedience is a test. Every time that I have to humble myself to what I feel, to what I've experienced, and honor God's word and say, let God be true and every man a liar, that's a test. You better believe there's tests in God in the sense of obedience. That's why the Bible tells you, endure hardness as a good soldier. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life that you've been called to. That's a fight, and it is a test. But he never tests you with evil. God is accused of hurricanes, tsunamis, plane crashes. If God's knocking planes out of the sky, he ought to be in prison. Oh, that's not nice to say. I think it's not nice to blame God for being a terrorist. You put me in prison if I did it. Do you see how subtle the enemy lies about God and he perverts the image of God in man? He's a liar and he's the father of it. But this scripture said that my temptations, my tests and trials are common to man. In other words, there's nothing you're going through that men are, and women are not going through and have gone through in life. Satan cannot take something out of the archives of his past and bring something to tempt or test man with that is not common to man. But do you understand your temptation, though, common to man? Do you realize your way of escape, your resources, your weapons are common to God? The weapons, the Bible said, of your warfare are not fleshly or human, but they are mighty through God. Your temptations are common to men. Your way of escape is common to God. So this verse actually should give you confidence that in difficulty, that your God's for you, with you, in you, to deliver you. But how has that been read? People read that verse and they say this, God won't give you more than you can bear. Do you see? That's not a person that just doesn't understand the Bible. That is a deception from the enemy to distort who God is. Why would I want to be close to a God who's trying to bear me up like a pack mule? Why would I have enough trouble without God? I want to be so close to you. And the closer I get, he said, oh, great, let's load you up. Why would you want to be intimate with a God you think wants to harm you? Do you see how the distortion causes you to not gravitate toward God, but protect yourself from God? It's like, God, I love you, Lord, but you know, maybe he has billions of people. Maybe he'll just kind of not think about me and won't bust my life up. Do you see how that distortion ruins the hearts of people? But here's the second thing. What is the principal lie that he tells you? If you can get this simple principle, if you can understand what I'm about to say to you, you can be equipped to be able to fight the identity thief for the rest of your life. And can I suggest, not just for you, but you can stop the lies generationally. And I don't know if there's anything I love, and I know there's nothing that Michelle and I love more on the planet than our kids, someday our grandkids. And if you have kids and grandkids are planned to, or they're coming at some point, which I'm trusting when they come, thank you, Jesus. I'm practicing on kids that I love right now in the church, loading them up. I always tell kids when I give them candy and their parents are there, I said, listen, eat this right before bedtime. I give them those little fish and I say, these are protein. But here's the thing. This is so important, so important. The principal lie that he tells is this. God's word isn't absolute truth and it can't be trusted. That's the principal lie Satan tells human beings. God's word is not true. It is not absolutely true. It cannot be trusted. And you see it from the very beginning. When Adam and Eve walked with God and they fellowship with God and God said, I bless you with all of these things. There was no enemy. They didn't even have to work. And he said, now I've given you everything, but there's one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of it or you'll die. Because what that tree of the knowledge of good and evil represented was literally to be able to try to find something good outside of God. And Satan came and he spoke these words, and he actually came through a serpent. Now you might be here today. Let me speak honestly to these things. And you say, listen, I'm educated, I'm intelligent. Do you want me to buy some fable that it's snake talk? Really? You actually believe that? I've had people ask me that. You believe that? Can I suggest that prior to sin entering the earth, we have no concept of what existed between man and animals. We have no idea what the capacity of communication was. We don't know how they communicated. All I know is that God told Adam to name every animal, and he did it, and he remembered them. His mental capacities are beyond anything we could imagine. Before sin came in, death by sin, I don't know what it was like. All I know is that my Bible tells me that even the earth is groaning for its redemption to get back to its original state before sin came in and even wrecked creation itself. I don't know what it was, but I know this. Somehow they communicated. So I think that's crazy. I know people talk to their dog. And I have no people that will tell you. I can communicate. They understand. My dog understands the emotion, the feelings. I honestly believe, and I'm not a pet person, and I don't quite understand how that works because, no offense, if you love animals, God bless you. Awesome. Just see, my dog's going to heaven just so he stays on your side of heaven. It's awesome. If God puts a dog in my house in heaven, it won't be heaven. Unless the dog doesn't smell, shed, or have to do anything that comes out of the openings in the ball. I'm okay. Then it'll be fun. All right. But here's the deal. The reality of it is people that are intimate and close, they know their animal, their pet. You could probably see where before sin darkened the world, there probably was a whole nother level. I don't know. But here's what I do know. He used the vehicle of something in the earth to deceive a man and a woman. And what he said was, is that what God said? You won't die if you eat of that tree. In fact, God's keeping back something good from you. God's keeping back the knowledge of good and evil. In fact, if you eat it, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. He's trying to keep something from you. And they bought it. And when they ate of that tree, sin lodged into their life and they spiritually died. And the image of God was marred in them. Because when God came looking for Adam, and he said, Adam, where are you? Not like God didn't know. He was crying out for Adam. And the Bible said Adam hid himself. Because God told Adam, if you eat the tree, you die. He ate the tree, he's still alive. All he can think is that God's coming to kill me, so I have to hide. One lie, and now the God of life is now his executioner. But when God finds him, he redeems him and he covers him and he cares for him, even though he broke the intimate relationship they had together. And now we are living with death by sin ever since. Adam, you understand the first judgment in the Bible was not God. It was man judging God based on the lie of the enemy, the deception that comes from the pit of hell. In John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, make them holy, Father, by your truth. Teach them your word, for your word is truth. Say it out loud. God's word is truth. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will then be my disciple or follower indeed. And then he said this, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth, Jesus said, the word of God is truth. The word of God in my heart applied makes me free. Not my devotion to God, not my 21 day fast or how long I pray. The only thing that will ever make you free in life is the word of God, finding the entrance of the light of the word of God into your heart. Truth is the only thing that will make you free. So isn't it interesting that in our culture today, the only thing God has designed to make you free is truth? What is the culture telling us about truth? That it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as truth. And precious people think it's like it's someone with a different ideology that I'm against or they're against me. It has nothing to do with people. The way, if you will, Satan used a serpent as his pulpit, he uses culture today as his pulpit for people. Do you know the Bible calls Satan the God of this world? Small g. He has a right to be here. Adam gave him the right to be here. And he seeks to steal, to kill, and destroy. Let me read a scripture to you to bring this in clarity. In 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a pastor, and he said this. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days or latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, a doctrine of demon is not a demon walking around preaching. A doctrine of a demon is a belief system that has deceived you about God. And he said, even those who know me in the latter days will listen to the deceptions, and it will distort my image in them. Now, the Bible speaks of the latter times or latter days. and the return of Christ. People say, do you think it's close? I know it's closer than it was yesterday. When is he coming? I can't tell you exactly, but I do know this. The Bible said when these things happen, that you are entering into those final latter days. I don't know if that's decades, millennia. I have no idea. I'm not God. But I would tell you this, that the scripture foretold that Israel would again become a nation. And when that would happen, that would be the beginning of what was called the last days. That happened in 1947. In 1947 is when that occurred. And then the Bible foretells of a group of nations coming together against Israel. And the modern day nations would be Russia, Syria, and Iran coming together in league against Israel. It's like reading the paper. It said, ultimately, all the sons of Ishmael, or the Arabs, will line up together with them against Israel. If there's any conflict in the world, this little piece of real estate is surrounded by people who want to drive them into the sea. The Bible said it would, when you see that happening, and he told you the nations that would do it, it's like reading the paper. We are in these times right now. I don't know how long it will be, but I can tell you this. It's like reading the paper when you read the Bible. He said, when that begins to happen, you remember this. The way the enemy is going to work is he is going to work overtime to deceive people with lies. And when you believe those lies, you are bound. If truth makes you free, believing a lie will put you in prison. And so culture is the serpent Satan uses to tell people that absolute truth does not exist. And so what often happens is that Christians think someone who opposes their view is their enemy. No person is your enemy. Well, it's the conservatives, it's the liberals, it's the Democrats, it's the Republicans, it's those college campuses and those crazy professors. It's people that Jesus died for. People that are made in the likeness and image of God that he loves. That anyone who knows Christ should love openly and fully, no matter what they believe. But they have become deceived to believe a lie. So much so that in our culture today, if you believe in absolute truth, the culture now actually considers you evil. Think of how powerful of a deception. If truth is the only thing that can make a person free, if I remove the concept even of truth from the culture, how does anyone ever get free? They stay bound, and all the people fight each other. And the enemy sits back and watches people that Jesus died for fight each other over issues. And all the while, Jesus died to make people free. But the enemy uses culture like a pulpit. And again, I'm not against anybody. Because the enemy lies to everybody. But today, if I as a Christian say that I humble myself before my God and I take God's view of a certain issue, whatever it is, not against people, but for me to honor God, I have to live this way. Because he's my God and I humble myself. Well, what makes you think that's right or wrong? My God said it's right or wrong, and I choose to honor him. Why? There is no right or wrong. There is no up or down. Everyone has their own truth. What is your truth? What a load of nonsense. What is your, now, if you mean by what is your truth, what is your experience, that's fine. But you can't have your own truth. That's insane. It's so intellectually weak, your own truth. That's like I owe you $600. I take out three $1 bills and I go, 100, 400, 600. We're even. And you say, you're out of your mind. That's my truth, man. Who are you to judge? That is my truth. Try it with the mortgage company. Try it with your car. Try it with your electric and your gas or whatever. You'll find out your truth won't make you free. It will freeze your pipes eventually when stuff gets shut off. They will come take your house. You don't get to have your own truth. God, word is truth, period. Now, someone has a right to say, I don't want that. God bless you. Your business, when you're dead in a few years, you tell him. You'll see him. Talk to him. Tell him why you were so brilliant. I'd rather humble myself now. Because my Bible tells me every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means he the boss of everything. to the glory of God the Father. I'd rather do it now than have an angel put his foot on the back of my neck and say, bow, big boy. All I'm trying to help you to see today, truth is what makes you free. And the enemy's greatest deception is to take away even the concept that it exists. If the enemy can remove truth from you, you are bound forever. Forever. 7 years ago, maybe longer now, a professor from a local university, not a Christian school, contacted me and said, I have a class, it's a religious class, not based on, you know, like a serving God religion, but like just we're studying religions. And would you be willing if we took a field trip to your church to be able to talk to the class? Because I would like them to meet a mega church pastor. I hate that term, but I thought, that might be fun. Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. And, you know, of course, I know pretty much the standard questions you get asked. And so we started, and I welcomed everybody, and I said, I'm more than happy to give you whatever perspectives I can that may give you just some understanding of why we do what we do, how we do what we do. And the first question, young woman, I forget, they said, since the Bible is full of so many contradictions, how do you speak from it and trust it? I said, well, that's a really good question. I said, so can you give me an example? Silence. Okay, I said, is there anyone in this class that can give me an example of where it contradicts? Silence. I said, let's include your professor. Ma'am, you are welcome to show me a contradiction that we can talk about, because I can show you about 40 apparent contradictions that if you understand this is a translation and it's from an original language, it gets pretty simple. But I'm not going to go. I didn't ask the question. So let me ask you again. Somebody in the room, including your professor, I'm more than happy to address whatever you show me a contradiction, not a word. So my next statement was simply this. I said, my suggestion to all of you is that you have not been educated. You've been indoctrinated. You just made a blatant statement that you have no evidence for at all. And my suggestion would be, do some of your own thinking. And I would not trust my eternity to anybody, including me, because eternity is a long time. So the question isn't, do you see how pervasive those thoughts become to people? I hear it all the time. Well, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. Show me. I'm telling you, I can show you some. You'll go, oh my goodness, depending on the translations. That's not the work of a professor. That's not the work of some group, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican. That's the work of the enemy, to steal your identity. And he does it subtly. He doesn't come and say, he swallowed some poison. He does it in the name of goodness. Remember, it was not the tree of evil. It was the tree of the knowledge, listen to me, of good and evil. Satan now wants to define what is good and what is evil. And men have swallowed it hook, line, sinker, fisherman, and his boots, and the boat and the sea. And we think we're smart. We think it's just my opinion. This is my view. You are a pawn. There are only two kingdoms, one that wants to kill you and one that died for you to love you and to lift you to life. I know what it felt like when my identity was totally stolen. Since I was a kid, I don't know why it was like this. Nothing happened to me. I wasn't abused. And I mean, obviously, I grew up in an Italian home. That could be abusive enough, but I don't know why, as late years and going into adolescence, where I just felt I never could be as good as anybody. I could never do something if it required something above that, not even average, but below average. No one knew it. I couldn't even articulate it. I felt it all the time. And when you feel a certain way and your identity has been shaped by feelings or, God forbid, maybe horrific things that have occurred to you in life, it feels so real. You're not lying. You're not thinking that this isn't true. This is just how I feel. It's who I am. It's all I've ever known. But that wasn't how God saw me. I didn't know that, though. And so when you live that way, you want to find a way of escape. In my case, just one of the things I did in school, because I never thought I could do well, And I really don't have a learning disability, even though some people might think I do, but I don't. But if I did, that's okay, but I didn't. So why couldn't I apply myself? Where did that lie come from? So my way of escape was learn to cheat really well. And man, I became an expert at cheating. And I had a French class where the teacher, she knew that I was going to cheat. Because I got grades, she thought there's no way he's getting these grades. So she would come before the test, stand by me, have me empty my pockets, nothing. I mean, basically, she could have put me in my underwear somewhere just to take the test, she would have. But I'm just sitting, and she'd go back and sit down. Well, what she didn't know is there was this girl that was I was friends with sat in front of me, had this thick, thick brown hair, like down to her waist. And she let me tape a cheat sheet on her back. So I would stare dead straight ahead. And I just put my pencil up and go, whoop, whoop. And I'd get, I wouldn't miss one thing. He said, well, man, if you went through all that work, why didn't you study? I didn't think I could. So I found, and then I went to college and did the same thing. But there was no one sitting in front of me. I wasn't as good at it. So what was my way of escape in college? To go get high all the time. To live immorally. People don't live broken lives and messed up lives because they wake up and say, hey, let me ruin my life. They want a way of escape, and the enemy's happy, absolutely thrilled to watch you deal with the lies in a way that's destructive because he seeks to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. The way of escape. The way of escape. What lies are you believing? What lies are you believing? You don't even know. Like I didn't. Oh, but the power of getting the Word of God in your life, the truth makes you free. If begging would do it, get in a small group when they launch. Because getting in an environment where you can get the word in your life in real time with real people, lies get exposed. Lies aren't strong. They just are absent truth. Darkness isn't great. It's just absent light. So put the word in your life on a daily basis. Get in a small group because in this church, we want you to know God. And coming to church, hearing the word on weekends, you can know God. But I'm telling you, you can find freedom. If you'll get a small group is a great, it's a primary place in this church where you're going to find freedom. You can get in the Word of God with a group of people and get the truth in your heart. Truth will make you free. You can find your purpose and then make an impact. The last thing, and this is very quick because I know game time. You relax. People are like, does he know the Steeler game? Listen, churches sometimes they pretend they don't like the game. Your pastor liked the game. So, you know, I might get there a little late because I'm sticking around to the end, but you're safe. Don't worry about it. I'm getting you home in non-Jewity. Non-Jewity. And if you leave early to go, they'll lose and it's your fault because God will not give you more than you can bear. Just teasing. Number three, what is the way of escape? Let me show you where Jesus had his identity attempted to be stolen. This is right after the Holy Spirit came upon him. And right after the anointing of God came upon him in the River Jordan, Holy Spirit descended upon him as like a dove. And God said this out loud. I heard it. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Immediately, I want you to see the enemy. Same thing he did to Adam. The same thing in Eve. The same thing he does to me. He attempted to do to Jesus. Matthew 4 verse 1. Then Jesus was led of the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, first word, if. If you are the Son of God, before any temptation, the first thing he wanted to doubt, what God said over him. You're not the Son of God. You don't believe that. If you are the Son of God, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Is that really what God said? If you are the Son of God, listen to what he said. Tell these stones to become bread, because he was hungry. And Jesus answered three words. This is the way of escape. It is written. And I would suggest to you that if the Son of the living God saw the word of God as valid enough to quote, then I do too. Because it is the only thing that will make you free. He said, it is written. Man does not live on bread alone, but man does live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, questioned his identity, throw yourself down. Now listen to this, for it is written. This is one of those God won't give you more than you can bear. Notice how he takes the Bible and twists it. For it is written, quoting Psalm 91, he will command his angels concerning you. They'll lift you up in their hands so that you don't even strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him and said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All of this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil left him and angels came and attended to him. Jesus had three lies, three attacks. All three times he said what God said about him. Again, let me say it as we close. If Satan challenged Jesus' identity, you can be assured he's going to challenge yours. So Jesus responded with the truth of the word of God to overcome every lie of the enemy. And that's what every one of us have to do. That's why coming to church is important. It's not some religious ticket you punch, because the truth makes you free. It's why getting in a small group, they're launching soon, get in one. Don't pray about it, do it. Truth will make you free. We simply have to believe what God says about us. Resist thoughts to the contrary. And then lastly this, I've got to humble myself. No matter what I've experienced, no matter what I feel, no matter how this seems impossible, humility says, let God be true and every man a liar. God, if you said it, I trust you. I don't know that if I ever experienced it, I've never even seen it, but if you said it, I trust you. I believe what you say about me, because this is your identity if you're a child of God. You are born of God. You are born to be an overcomer. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You are accepted in the beloved. You are complete in Christ. You have been delivered from the powers of darkness. You died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. You were raised with Christ. You ascended with Christ. And the scripture said you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places at the throne of God, far above principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but even the world to come. Your identity lasts beyond your life. I don't want to learn my identity when I die. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's how God sees you. And there's an identity thief trying to steal that from you. And I want to pray for you today as we go. These next 2 weeks, I'm telling you, man, this is just a game changer. Because you learn how to tell the enemy, take a hike. And I'm standing my ground in humility. And let God be true and every man a liar. Father, I pray over every person here in this room, the many, many people that are watching online, that we've all been told lies. Some of them, 1 + 1 = 2, it makes sense why we believe it. Some like me that you don't know where it came from, but it's a lie nonetheless. Lord, I thank you that you open our hearts to understand the truth. The people are not our enemy. There are people that oppose your word are not your enemy or ours. You died for us while we were yet dead in our sin. Lord, I thank you that we have authority over the enemy. Jesus died to provide it for us. And I pray that where hopelessness has been so settled, where the way of escape has even brought more pain, that we've tried. Father, I pray that you restore hope to hearts, that their identity they realize can be, it is different than that. And it changes everything for even generations to come. I pray that over every person here watching online who will listen to this online or in a podcast, because you know you're timeless and space means nothing to you. Do an amazing work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to live this out so the truth can make us free. As heads are remaining bowed, eyes closed, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you drew your final breath and died, where would you go? Jesus said, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus said, I am dying to pay the debt that you couldn't pay. And he did it. As the wrath of God fell on him that was due me. If you're here and you've never invited Christ into your heart, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. If you're watching online, you can pray right where you're at. If you've never invited Christ into your heart, you can do this right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say, Pastor, include me in the prayer, I want to invite Jesus in my heart. Pray for me. Or maybe you've done that many years ago or a time in the past, but your heart's so far from God and you want to leave here knowing that your sin is wiped away and you want to go after God with all your heart, with every head bowed, every eye closed on either one of those counts, if that's you, right where you are, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud together with you right where you're at. Say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just lift your hand up real high right where you're at, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, we'll pray it together with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now your child. That's my identity. My sin is wiped away, and I am heaven bound. Amen. Give them a hand. Man, best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.